Good morning, good night of Shabbos. The sheets are right here next to Dr. Silver, so if anyone wants a sheet, there's two more left. I don't know why, my printer malfunctioned. I only printed six or seven sheets. This was, so if someone wants to take a picture of it and use a scan, that's okay also. Otherwise, you can try to grab what's left over there. There's one left right now, but whoever first come, first serve, and you can take a picture if you want to, or share them, whatever. Our learning this month in the Kol is sponsored by the Melamed family in honor of Eitan Melamed. We appreciate that. The learning this week is Le'ili Nishmas Yvette Gardner. That's sponsored by the Bachman and Goldenberg families. We appreciate that as well. And our Sfas Emes Shirim for the entire month of Adar, although we're running out of this message, I guess. We're coming to the end. Parshas HaChodesh, but it was sponsored by Mark Golden in honor of his father, Arthur Golden, our Meitzal Kurtz, whose Yahrzeit was the 14th of Adar. We continue to learn Le'inu Nishmaso as well. So we're trying to nail three things today, Le'inadar Mirz Hashem. We'll need Siat Deshmaya to get to all of them and a few minutes. But we want to get through Vayakel, Pekudei, and Parshas HaChodesh. I don't know if we'll get to all of them, but luckily there are some connections, so hopefully we'll be able to double up at some point along the way. But let's start in the beginning in Parshas Vayakel. Vayakel begins, it's sort of, remember, you have to read all these parshios, Truma Tetzavik, Yisisa, Vayakel Pekudei, these five parshios as a set of parshios that are talking basically about what? Building the Mishkan, right? We spoke about building the Mishkan a few times in different contexts. Building the Mishkan, the other message that keeps getting scattered and thrown in there is Shabbos, right? We spoke a lot about Shabbos last week. Somehow the Mishkan and Shabbos, in multiple ways, the Mishkan and Shabbos are very much connected. First of all, just on a technical level, although it's not only technical, it's also fundamental, the Melachos of Shabbos are learned out from the Melachos of the Mishkan, meaning those actions which it took to build the Mishkan are the place from which we learn the Isurei Melacha, the 39 things you cannot do on Shabbos. So there's that inherent connection in terms of the technicalities. But also, you find many times a connection in the themes and the messages and the goals of Shabbos and Mishkan. We'll talk about some of that today. We spoke about some of it last week as well. The Pesukim here tell us, in the context of building the Mishkan, the last stages of building the Mishkan and then counting the items, Vayavol kocham ha'osim izkohom lachas ha'kodesh ish ish mimlachto asher heim ha'osim, the workers, Vayomer al Moshe lemor marbim ha'am lahavi midei ha'avod la'malacha. People are bringing too much. People are over-donating. We never had such a thing in our kolol so far. I would love to see what that looks like. But we have too much funds coming in. We can't handle it. There's too much. There's not enough work to do with all the funds. So basically, Vayitzav Moshe, Vayaviru Kol B'machne, he made an announcement, a proclamation. Al Yasu Od Melachos Hashem Asa Kodesh, don't bring any more. Vayikale Ha'am Mehavi. And then the donations ceased. People stopped bringing donations, meaning they donate. It was more than enough, and they stopped. And then the pasuk says, Vaha Melacha Haisa Dayam. There was enough to go around. L'chol amlach l'asos osa. V'hoser. What does v'hoser mean? And there was extra. So it's a very interesting phrase, right? There's an inner contradiction here in the Psukim, and there's a few things to talk about. There's an inner contradiction in the Psukim at the end that the malacha was dayam, which means enough, dayenu, right? It was enough. It was exactly sufficient. And also hoser, and also too much. How could it be enough and too much all at the same time? Doesn't really make any sense. Okay, we'll come back to that Bli Nether. The Svasim is going to try to address that. But even the Sfas Emes points out in the very beginning, you have it here in source number one, Shnas Tuf Reish Lamed Hey, 1875. The Sfas Emes says, Yesh Lahavin Ma Zeha Arichas. What's all of the long, elongated way of saying these words over here? It's such a, say it much shorter. There was a lot of donations. They stopped donating and everything was good. Why four psukim to describe this process of too much less? So the Sfas Emes says there's something very deep going on over here. Venira. Ki ro hatzadikim v'hachachamim. The Gedolei Hador, the Chacham, the Tzaddikim, Moshe Rabbeinu and his entourage, they saw ki nispashit ha'esnadvus yoser meharoi. Could you imagine such a thing? Moshe Rabbeinu saw, the Tzaddikim Hador saw, that there was too much of giving of themselves. There was too much giving from the nation. They were overdoing it, more than it was fitting, more than was befitting for the current process. How could that be? We'll keep reading. V'chashishu, they were concerned, Moshe and his and the leaders of the generation. V'chashishu, shelo yeh od b'ritzon emes l'shem shamayim. Ki akol holich achar ratzon l'shem shamayim. What happens when a person gives tzedakah, or when they give a gift to the Mishkan, or when they try to do a mitzvah, when they give of themselves, their most nefesh for something, the ikker, the main thing that matters, is that they're doing it with a lev shalem l'shem shamayim. That they're doing it with the intent, with the heart, with a focus of L'shem Shemayim, doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah, L'shem, the mitzvah. Not for themselves, not because the masses are doing it, but because they want to do the mitzvah, they want to do it genuinely and altruistically. But Moshe Rabbeinu and the leaders of the Klal Yisrael saw that once everyone jumped on board and the masses started donating, so I don't know, so you have sometimes fundraisers, so it's all good. The first people who jump in, the Nachshons, who jump in and they donate money at an auction or something, so maybe they're very L'shem Shemayim. And then as people see their friends donating, what do they need to do? They also need to up the ante, either to compete or to shtel tzu, meaning you got to be part of the masses. You see your friend who's at the same level as you, he's giving, so you have to give. That's a wonderful thing. We want people to give tzedakah. But it also, the first person who does it on his own, there's a little bit more of a L'shem Shemayim to it, right? There's a little bit more of a genuine nature to it. He jumped in first. Other people also can have elements of L'shem Shemayim. They could also have elements of competition or keeping up with the Joneses or just making sure they don't fall behind, which is all good intentions, but lower levels than the previous people. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, as that deteriorates, really, as that, in a good way, expands, but also on the level of Kavana, as it deteriorates, so the Kavana, the intention, goes from L'shem Shemayim down and down and down, potentially all the way to even a Gashmias intention of Kavod, of just keeping up with everyone else. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, I see Marbim Ha'am Lahavi Midei Avod Lamlacha. People are going crazy. This is a great fundraising campaign. Everyone's donating. But now it's just becoming the masses. It's just becoming a mob mentality of people jumping on board, donate, 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 donate. So they said, whoa, 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 we got to slow down here. Let's retain the initial intention, L'shem Shemayim. Let's stop and focus on what we're trying to do, says Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Vayikala Am Mehavi. Klai Yisrael said, okay, we'll stop. We'll cease. We won't donate anymore. V'amalach ha'isadayim. And they stopped when there was enough. They stopped while they were ahead, so to speak. Umoshe Rabbeinu al Hashalom, the next set of bold over here, V'hachacham Shamru Maisa B'nei Yisrael. They were guarding the acts of Klai Yisrael, Shalo Lis'arev Bo Pnios Kanal. That there shouldn't be mixed into their intentions of tzedakah any biases, any negios, any intent for some other reason other than giving to the Mishkan, trying to do the mitzvah of Hashem, trying to create the Mishkan through their donations. So you need to be careful, not only when a person is jumping in, but even as people are giving more and more tzedakah, there has to be a concern and a care, thought. It has to be sensitive to the fact that we want to make sure we're giving with the right intentions. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, stop. Stop while we're ahead. Don't give just because everyone's giving. Give because you mean it. Give because it's L'shem Shemayim. Right now, we don't need it, so there's no reason at this point to give in that sort of way. That could only take us down in terms of Kavana. It's very interesting if you look in the second Svas Emes here. Source number one, the second Svas Emes, Tafresh Mem Aleph, 1881. So the Svas Emes quotes again our Pasuk, and then he says, V'isa, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Menachos. Echad Amarbe ve'echad Amamit. Doesn't matter how much you give. Some people are able to give $100 to tzedakah. Some people are able to give $20 to tzedakah. As long as you're giving yichavin libo l'shamayim, as long as you're doing it with the right intentions, as long as you intend genuinely, altruistically, you're doing the avodas Hashem l'shem shamayim, that's all we can ask for you, that your heart is in it. So says the Svas Emes, echad ha-marbe ve'echad ha-mamit. So you tend to think of it like this. A person who gives a lot of tzedakah, or says a lot of words of davening, whatever the mitzvah might be. We're just talking about tzedakah, trumas, mishkan in our case. But a person does a lot of a mitzvah, so then the kavana is sort of like less important, right? Meaning he's doing a lot of it. He's conquering a lot of mitzvahs. He's covering a lot of ground. So echad amarba, we get. You're giving a lot of tzedakah, you're good. You're fine the way you are. Echad amamit, we're saying even if you're giving just a little bit, still, it's worthwhile as long as you have the right kavana. You can't afford to give $100, you give $20. But as long as your heart is in it, as long as you mean it for a mitzvah, we still accept that the same way we accept $100. You can't finish the whole Shmoneser is a bad example, you can't finish the whole Pesukah de Zimra. It's very long Pesukah de Zimra. They go very fast in your shul, you can't finish. As long as you say the amount of words that you can say with kavana, we want that. Assuming you get there on time, and you said karbanos and everything. We want your kavana. We want your intent, says the halacha. Echad amarbe, even if you're able to cover a whole pesukah zimra, echad amamet, even if you only cover a little bit of pesukah zimra, ubevach yechavin libo l'shamayim. We want the kavana. So we think of it as a chiddush, and even if you're mamet, even if you can't give so much or do so much, as long as you have the proper intention, the proper mindset, that satisfies us. That's sufficient for the goal of libo l'shamayim. But says the Svas Emes, v'yitachin lefarish, you could say a little differently, al hamarbe. Meaning we're talking to the guy who's giving a lot of tzedakah, doing a lot of the mitzvah, covering a lot of pesukah zimra. Ala marbe, ki aribu itzarach shmira shiyeh l'shem shemayim karoi. Isn't that amazing? Meaning we think, echad marbe v'echad mamet, even if you're giving a little bit, as long as you have a lot of intention. So this says, no. Someone who gives a little bit, obviously he's doing a good job, he's doing his best. He's doing the best he can. He's giving as much tzedakah as he can. He's davening as much words as he can. as many words as he can. Says Svazemis, but echara marbe, even if you're giving a lot of tzedakah, where sometimes people give a lot of tzedakah because it gets attention, because people are watching. Say a lot of psukim zimmer because it's easier to go faster. So we're saying, no, echara marbe, even if you're going fast, even if you're giving a lot, even if you're doing a lot of mitzvos, make sure that is l'shem shemayim. Make sure when you're doing a ton of things, it's l'shem shemayim, because often it's harder to keep the l'shem shemayim mindset as the mitzvah expands, as it grows, as it becomes bigger and bigger. I quoted here... Absolutely, yeah. So that actually is also part of Parshas Vayakel. Absolutely, that's part of Parshas Vayakel as well. I don't have the pesukim here, and I'm not a Baal Kori, but maybe I do have the pasuk. I was going to call on you, but you're good. So if you look in source number 2, the pasuk says Vayavo Anashim Al Nashim Kol Devleiv Heviu Chach Vanezim VeTabas VeChumas VeKol Kli Zahav VeChol Ish Asher Heinif Tenufas Zahav LaHashem. What's Tenufas Zahav? So the Ramban has different understanding of this, but at least in one of the interpretations, at least, is that people who gave gold, we like waved it publicly to make sure people knew that they gave gold. People gave silver, nothing wrong with silver, but people who gave silver, so we didn't wave it as much. We didn't make as much of a public thing. Meaning, we do try to build up people's excitement for mitzvahs, especially tzedakah. And we try to be mefarsim that. We try to put names into that. But that's really just to encourage people to do the mitzvah. There's a higher level. Ideally, the Rambam says the highest level of tzedakah is you knock on a poor person's door, you leave the money by the door, and you run away, and he never knows who it was. So, okay, there's different ways that it happens. Sometimes it inspires people to name something. Sometimes it inspires people not to name something. We have to reach people at their own way. But the echad hamarba aspect is that as you do more and more, you have to make sure you're holding on to those intentions you had in the very beginning. So I quoted here also the Pardes Yosef in Parshas Truma. He quotes from the Rebbe Rabbanim, who said that that's the pshat in the Mishnah as well. It's the Mishnah is talking about the marbe. The mamet easily has kavana. A marbe, even when you're doing a lot, even when you are naming something, to still retain the L'shem Shemayim, that's the Chiddush, that's the Chizik that we need, even when we are getting the attention, to make sure that we're still intending the right things, even through all of that Ribuy, even through all of that, all of those intentions, to keep having the right Kavanas. The Sfas Emes, if you go back to Tav Reish Lamed Hey, the second source on the page, the first Sfas Emes, so he says, that's the Pshat in the rest of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'hamlacha ha'isadayam v'hoser. It was enough, and it was too much. What do you mean it was enough or it was too much? It's a stira. So he says, the Aruch Chaim asked that question. So he says, according to what we said though, that's exactly the pshat. According to what we explained, this that the people stopped giving, meaning this that they held back from the Riboy, they held back, Vayichale Ha'am, they ceased to give tzedakah, through this, they were masakein, they fixed the extra, the surplus, Shalo Niskalka Handava Adei Espashtas, meaning it was hoser, they gave too much. But since at that point they stopped and they pulled back and said, oh, we don't need to give anymore, fine. We're only giving if we need to give. We're only giving L'shem Shemayim. Now it's not necessary, so we're not going to give anymore. So they pulled back. When they pulled back, it was hoser, it was too much in quantity, but dayam. Qualitatively, it was just enough. Because now they fixed that mistake, or that they preempted that mistake, and they didn't overdo it. They had the right kavanas the whole time. Svas Emes and Vayakel, Tafresh Mem, that's right before source number 2. 1880. So Sfas Emes just says the pasuk tells us Vayichlum v'nei Moshe is kol truma etc. V'hem eviu elav od nidava ba boker. Every morning they brought. Why is the pasuk telling us it was in the morning? Who cares what time of day it was? What does that mean? So it says that the Sfas Emes says something we spoke about in the past. The word boker doesn't always just mean morning. Sometimes it means the initial burst of inspiration. Right? It means the excitement at the beginning of a person's life, at the beginning of a person's day. When you wake up, you have a little more zest. But I don't know about you, by the time I'm never awake basically all day. I feel like I'm sleepwalking. But when I wake up, I have energy. I know I'm gonna have a conquer the day. When I go to sleep, it's usually not the same feeling. It's usually, whatever. You don't feel the energy. You feel worn down. So when a person wakes up in the boker, they feel this zest, this energy, this kavana, this excitement, this passion, inspiration. So says Sfas Emes, that's how we're supposed to give tzedakah. That's how we're supposed to give tzedakah to the Mishkan. Baboker, baboker. With that energy, with that zest, with that excitement, that every day we should wake up with that feeling. So too, by the tzedakah, he's saying the same thing. And that's what he was saying in the beginning. That as we give more and more, it becomes rote. And also other intentions can mix in. So we have to mechazik ourselves that as we give and give and do, tzedakah, davening, learning, everything we add on in mitzvahs in our lives, make sure we're still baboker. We're still feeling that energy, that zest, and that kavana l'shem shemayim. In source number 2, you have the pasuk we mentioned before. The pasuk begins, Vayavo ha'anashim al hanashim, that the men on the women came and gave jewelry to the Mishkan. So what's al hanashim? A very strange phrase. So happens to be the Ramban understands the exact opposite. The Ramban understands that the nashim came to donate, And vayavohu ha'anashim al hanashim, meaning in English we would say, not only the women came, but even the men came. Mm-hmm. Right? Meaning the women are the ikkar and the men are the tafel. They're the secondary. They're the ones who came after the women or at a lesser level than the women. That has its own explanation as to why that might be true. The Sfas understands the opposite, because you could say the men, ha'anashim al ha'anashim, on top of, meaning they were a higher level than the women. So how are they higher level in their donation? So flip the page to the Sfas Emes in Vayakal, Tuf Reish Lamed Hey, 1875. So Sfas Emes quotes his grandfather, the Chedush HaRim, who says, Al pi maimar razal, b'makom shbali tshuva omdim, ein sadikim gemurim yicholim lamod. Very strange phrase the Gemara has. The Gemara says that where the place, the status which a Baal Tshuva holds, someone who did Tshuva, who repented, who used to be on the wrong derech, and they repented and became from a Jew, so such a person is at such a high level that even Sadiqim Gemurim, the Gedolei Hador, who were FFB, from Facebook, I forgot what it is. So even if they started from their whole life, they don't even reach the level of a Baal Tshuva. That's such a strange thing. You'd think someone who's totally pure and never does an Aveir his entire life is at a higher level than someone who does Aveiros and then changes to become a Baal Tshuva. So why is a Baal Tshuva at a higher level? So the Sfas Emes has a big yesod. You know, we spoke about this, I think, Parshas Vayelech, when we were close to Aseres Mechuva. We spoke about this idea, but it's good to review. So the Sfas Emes is unbelievable. He says that a person has many drives, many emotions, many feelings, many motivations. Those motivations, those talents, those feelings, they can be used for good or they can be used for bad. But they were all given for us to do mitzvahs with. Like, you only have your talents and your emotions and your feelings and your intellect in order to do good things, in order to come closer to Ribono Shel Olam and Oler, to do mitzvahs, right? That's the reason we have those attributes. So you may use them for the wrong reasons, but they're really there to build you up, to do mitzvahs. Says the Sfas Emes, if a person develops a passion, develops a feeling, develops a skill, a talent, and they use it for bad, that's a bad thing. But you know what they now have? They have an extra tool in their toolbox. They have a new skill, a new talent, a new feeling, a new passion. So they're able to now redirect that passion towards a mitzvah, then they're able to have something in their toolbox that even a tzaddik gomer doesn't have. Because they were able to take a koach that was lira and convert it to a koach latov. A tzaddik gomer can't do that. He never had those bad desires, those bad intentions, those bad actions to now convert, to redirect, to orient towards tov, towards goodness. So a Baal Tshuva has that extra leg up on the tzaddik gomer, b'makom she'Baal Tshuva omed, even tzaddikim gemurim can't possibly touch, because they have another tool in their toolbox. They have another arrow in their quiver.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Nailed that. They have another arrow in their quiver. If you look, the Rav Kook, you have in again before source 3, the Oros HaTshuva. That's Rav Kook's sefer on Tshuva. Two places where he has the same idea. The Od Yoser Tzarech Shivare Levarer. Not only to bolster the goodness that we have, but to find the good in the bad. In the bad deeds we've done, in the bad midos we've had, to try to find what's the good mida in there. A guy is a ganef. That means he's incredibly passionate about money. So, I don't know, I'm just making a silly example, but he's a passionate about money. So how does he use that passion for money for good? Maybe he becomes a collector of tzedakah. Maybe he becomes a fundraiser for a shul. Maybe he helps out with the shul dinner. All of a sudden, he converted that passion and helped. Has someone watch him to make sure he doesn't put in his pockets. Maybe he just converted that passion to something good, to help the shul, to help the community. Someone who has a zest for something, they could use it lebed, but then they could choose to take that same passion and devote it to good. But also a koach atzmo sheborchem min hara, kedei shetitia tshuva koach poel letova, hame'at peches, we know the Gemara in Yuma tells us that when a person does tshuva me'ava, true, genuine, full tshuva, they turn their bad deeds into good deeds. What is this, a magic trick? You turn your bad deeds into good deeds? Says Rav Kook, no, that's the pshat. You take all the bad things you did in your life and you use them for good, you've turned the bad into the good. You've turned averos into zechuyos, into mitzvos. You can convert the old bad deeds into mitzvos. Rav Soloveitchik has the same idea, exactly the same idea, in Ala Tshuva, in one of his Tshuva drashas. So he quotes there a very fascinating comment from Taisus and Bava Metzia. You have it here in the third indented source, Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. There's where the Gemara says that Reish Lakish used to be a bandit. And Rabbi Yochanan was swimming in the river. He saw Rabbi Yish Lakish jump over the river. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Chel chala raisa, if you have such kawach, you have such strength, so chel chala raisa, you must be strong enough to be good in learning. I don't understand. If you saw someone playing ball one time and he dunks on, he posterizes or whatever, the guy in front of him. So he's like, oh, you have to start learning Gemara. I mean, you have to. I'm saying your mom is going to kill it in Gemara. What shaykhs? What does one have to do the other? So apparently, the physical koach to jump over the river, to fly over a river, apparently, that showed that this person had an ability to be a tzaddik and a talmid chacham. Isn't that an incredible thing? The physical ability to jump over the river showed that he must have kochos, and all kochos must be given for Torah and mitzvos. So it must be that if someone has such an unbelievable ability to jump over a river, to leap over a river, to be so athletic, to have such prowess physically, it must be he can also become a great Talmud Chacham. And in fact, Tosa say, this is so fascinating, Rabbeinu Tam says, that you find in Yerushalmi, that Reish Lakish used to be Frum. He was a Rebbe. Then he went off the Derech and became a bandit, and then he came back. Nobody knows this because the other side of the story that's not in the Gemara Bavli here. But Rabbeinu Tam quotes that. And the Rav says there's a Mashmaus in Tosis. I don't see it in Tosis, but it's obvious because we don't hear anyone quoting Reish Lakish before he became from again. So what you see from that is that he used to be a Rebbe, then he went off the Derech, and then he became what? A much bigger Rebbe. A Gadol. Someone who's quoted by the Gemara all the time. Meaning in his first life as a Rebbe, we don't really know anything about him. Then he went off the Derech, then he came back, and he was the Gadol Ador. What happened in between? He went off the derech. He became better? The answer is, yeah, he became better. Because he developed more of a skill set. Now, it's not an argument that a person should, try out bad things in order to develop new talents. I'm not recommending that. We could talk afterwards about about how to utilize this. But a person always has things in them that they're not proud of. Everyone has things that they're not proud of. How do we take those things and make ourselves proud of them? How do we take those things and devote them for good? We have examples in our own lives where we know people who have done this. But how do we do that each in our own way to become Balei Tshuva at each level of thing we regret to turn it into a tool in our toolbox for Avodas Hashem? That's something to think about and something that Sfas Emes is saying the men had over the women. Why? Because the men originally took all of their jewelry and donated it to what? The Egel Azav. What did the women do? They said, no way. The men had to pull it off of them. They had to pull it off of the women. The women were not interested in getting involved in the Egel Azav. Now the men come and say, we want to donate to the Mishkan. The women also donate to the Mishkan. But the men were a higher level. Why? Because that same Midah, they had this Midah, this attribute already. They were able to make donations. First, they donated to Avodah Zarah. Now they're taking that same Midah of being able to give of their money, of their jewelry, and they're giving it to the Mishkan. They're taking that same attribute of the zest for giving, the excitement to give, that lust for giving, and they're turning it into a thrill for giving for mitzvahs, for giving for a mishkan. That's al hanashim. That's even greater than the nashim. They always wanted to give tzedakah to the right purposes. They never wanted to give it to the wrong purposes. We, the men, we failed, and then we took that failure and turned it into a positive attribute. We turned it into a koach latov, like Reish Lakish, turning all those midos into Torah mitzvos. That's the maila that we have over the women, says the Sfas Emes in this instance of donations. Lastly, in source number 3, very interesting, the Sfas Emes quotes a Shmos Rabbah, Medrash Rabbah, from here, in Parshas Pekudei, Eilef Pekudei HaMishkan, the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Pekudei, because we're moving from Vayakal to Pekudei now, Mishkan HaEdos, Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe. So, there was a count, right? There was a count, an accounting of all of the items, all of the donations, all of the things we had in the Mishkan, and all of that counting was done through Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Medrash is fascinating. Ish Emunos, a loyal person, Rav Brachos. Someone who's a loyal person experiences much bracha. Mishu Neman HaKadosh Baruch Hu may be brachos al yadav. Someone who's faithful, who's loyal, Hashem brings bracha through him. Ish Emunos, who's the Ish Emunos? Who's the most loyal, faithful person? Source number 3. Zem Moshe. Shu ne'emano shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Pasuk tells us. Shekol advarim shayeh gizbar aleim. Anything which Moshe Rabbeinu oversaw in the Mishkan, hayu mizbarchim lefi shu ne'eman. Since he was ne'eman, loyal, faithful servant of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed anything that he oversaw. What's going on in this Medrash? This is unbelievable. Sfas Emes, Parshas Pekudei, Taf Reish Lamed Beis, 1872. Sfas Emes, this is a basic question over here that the Medrash is trying to answer. We're not supposed to count things. Chazal tell us that Eina Bracha Shaletas, there's no Bracha, Ela B'davar HaSamoy Min HaAyin, something which is hidden, and the Gemara goes on to say, something which is counted loses its source of Bracha. Once we quantify things, Hashem says, okay, you're counting, that's yours, and you're not getting more of it. You keep counting, you're flipping through the bills, counting your money, so Hashem says, good, so you know how much money you have, so I'm not giving more. But if the bank account is closed off, you don't see how much it is, you're not sure what the investment is up to now, Hashem can constantly add more Bracha without you realizing Bracha is only on something which is Samoy Min HaAyin. It's a lesson in tznius. The more we flaunt our successes, our wealth, or our good talents, things like that, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, good, so we know what you have. Okay, so you're good with what you have. The more we hide, the more we are quiet about it, the more we don't try to investigate or pry into what we have, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu will offer brachos to us. And it works also on a level of tefillas shav, but we can't have time to talk about that right now. So anyways, Eina bracha shalatas ela b'davar saman ayin. Counting things is not a simen bracha. So why are we counting all the things in the Mishkan? Why are we counting all the tzedakah, all the donations, all the items in the Mishkan? What are we doing counting? So the Sasem says the Medrash is picking up on this, and it's answering Asher Pukar al Pi Moshe. The count was done by whom? Moshe. Yeah, but just notice I said whom, not who. It's very important. We're losing that word in the English. People are starting to say who for everything. Whom is an important word to retain. So by whom was all of this counted? By Moshe Rabbeinu. No, I'm joking. That doesn't have an amitian. By Moshe Rabbeinu. So he's the one who counted it, and he was an Ish Neman. Says the Medrash, an Ish Neman, someone who's loyal, faithful. An ish emuna, someone who has faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bracha is shole, bracha resides even on things which are counted. Why? It's like a school, a special magic? So it's not special magic. What's the pshat that bracha doesn't exist when you count something? So Sasema says, what happens is, as you count, you say, one, two, three, we're counting each other, we each become individuals. But when we don't count, what are we right now? How many people are in this room? I don't know how many people, but it feels like a chash of a group. But once I try to put it down on paper and then convince the donors, no, it was a big attendance. And how many was it? 11, 10, just for the people who are not here, really 150. But I'm saying whatever the number is. So 150, okay, 150 individuals. Like, that's not such a big number. I've heard bigger numbers before. But if I say there was a nice chashuv of a group of people at Adas Torah learning Sfas Emes, that's chashuv, right? The second you start to quantify individuals, you take away the nature of bracha from the group. So says Sfas Emes, when you count, you're separating into individuals and it loses its source of bracha. When you leave it as a group, it has the source of bracha still because it's not separated into different parts. But a person who's an Ish Emunah, everything they see doesn't have its own individual number, individual stake in the game. Everything is nisbatal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is a group in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is a zero in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're a group or we're a bunch of zeros, but we're definitely not a bunch of ones. So an Ish Emunah, someone who has that true faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is back at its source. Everything is not a count. Everything is not a number. So as even when you count, if you're a Moshe Rabbeinu who has Emunah, even when you count, really all you're doing is showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu the group. But you're never diluting it into one, 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 because you have Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're always nisbatel, you're always nullified back to the source. That's what the Sfas Emes says over here, that the Medrash is trying to answer. Why are we counting? Isn't counting going to ruin the source of bracha? No, if you're Moshe Rabbeinu and you have Emunah, everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the count is meaningless. It's not quantifying anything. It's not separating into individuals, because everything really boils down back to the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you impart HaKadosh Baruch Hu's influence on everything, and therefore everything is batal to him, and therefore you don't have the source of klala that comes when you count. If you look at the very bottom, we have the Sfas Emes in Parshas HaChodesh, so he spells out the same idea. That's why I wanted to make the connection, so I'll just mention it. He spells out the same idea that as long as we impart HaKadosh Baruch Hu into things, we feel eschatshus, we feel bracha, we feel renewal, we feel like we can move forward with excitement, with thrill, with inspiration, because as long as we're an Ish Emunah, as long as we're someone who sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything, first of all, nothing becomes distilled and separate, and nothing is nisma'it, nothing becomes decreased because of that and loses its bracha. And secondly, we become a source of bracha. We have that chiddush, we have that excitement, that thrill, that inspiration through seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything. So we should be mechazik in donating and doing all of our mitzvahs for the right reasons, even as we do more mitzvahs to keep those intentions, to be mechazik ourselves. That should be a baboker. It should be with a freshness, with a vibrancy to all of our mitzvahs. That we should turn all of the midos that we have, good and bad, for the good, and that we should find source of bracha in everything we have, because we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of the things we have. Everyone should enjoy a wonderful Shabbos.